From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest on this week's program is Aaron Holstein, better known as Vibe Squad. Holstein began his musical career as a jazz guitarist, putting in his time at Hampshire College and Berklee School of Music before switching his focus to electronic music. While in Boulder, Colorado, he got involved playing bass, keys, samplers, and a ton of other instruments with the very popular live trance group Zilla that was featuring drummer Michael Travis of the String Cheese Incident and Jamie Janiver on Hammer Dulcimer, sort of an interesting combination there. A few years and hundreds of shows later, Holstein decided to change directions and focus on Vibe Squad, his wobbly dubstep and glitch hop alter ego. Let's get to my interview with Aaron Holstein. I began by asking him about his musical background.
Always wanted to make music my whole life since I was really little, maybe 5 or 6 years old, and got into, I'm turning 39 this year, so I was born in 1971. So when I was like 5 or 6 years old, on the radio was like, you know, Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and that type of stuff. And so I liked rock music right away and discovered more dance music type stuff in junior high. The original kind of electro dance music was coming out, and I was just really into that and hip hop as it was coming out. And so I took guitar lessons and piano lessons and was in bands all through high school and college, and studied jazz really seriously in college, and practiced guitar like 8 hours a day. I was really fanatic about fast technical music, you know. Yeah. And stuff like Frank Zappa and really just anything that was really adventuresome as far as the composition was concerned. That kind of got my interest in getting good technically on an instrument to a whole new level, seeing groups like that. And so that's all I did, was play guitar in college and study chords and go to class and improvise. And long story short, I studied as hard as I could and practiced, like, you know, 8 hours a day, and got to a place where I was then playing in jazz groups in Denver, you know, 10 years later, and in restaurants and little clubs and stuff for, you know, a couple people at a time for years. So that was kind of where I came from. I've always been interested in electronic music. I got interested in making beats on an MPC 60, an Akai MPC 60 in the 90s, early, mid-90s, and just kind of went with it ever since then. I've been, you know, early onto the computer software when it was crashing all the time and buggy and stuff, all the way through to now. So it's been a really steady evolution. You know, if you took the crossfader from like jazz guitar to like making beats every day, you know, it's been a slow transition.
How has that intense study in theory and composition really informed your, I guess, foray into digital music? Yeah. I mean, do you feel like you're using a lot of those things you learned, or did you have to start from scratch?
The harmony, 12-tone harmony, the classical music theory, is just totally invaluable. I mean, that's been the only way I could get the notes and the intervals and the chords out of my head into any medium, be it guitar or computer, you know, was really understanding all that stuff. And the digital stuff is great because now I can just, it's almost like plugging a cable directly into my head. You know, I mean, I'm almost drawing the sound shapes onto the screen. You know, I really have, if I have an idea, so it goes beyond the chords and the melody and harmony and rhythms that I've learned and studied. Now it's into this sound sculpture and playing with the the vibrational relationship between all these sounds. So it just added another level to it, and I think it just deepened the music. So now it's not just here's a chord progression and here's my best shot at it. It's a very intentional sonic shape that gets created.
Aaron Holstein, aka Vibe Squad, on his studio work. Let's listen to one of his tracks. This is Getting Grumpy. We'll follow that up with a Zilla track from Egg, Wicker Pilots, right here on the Unce Podcast.
Hello, what are you doing?
Nothing much.
No, me neither. Do you want to come and jump in some puddles?
Yeah, I suppose.
Making some moves into this electronic music area. How did you hook up with the guys from Zilla?
Zilla, I lived in a house in Boston when I was at Berklee College of Music that was sort of the center of a scene in the early East Coast jam band days. And it was a house, there was a band that was called Chakra that lived and rehearsed there. And I moved into that house. And Jamie Janover from Zilla lived there as well. And Dave Watts from a band called The Motet was also there. There was a bunch of characters that all moved west and we all stayed in contact together. So it was kind of the original crew that moved to Colorado, you know, 5 years later. Jamie and I have been great friends throughout and played music together when I moved to Boulder. Travis from String Cheese Incident is a good friend who was living at Jamie's house. So we would just have these impromptu jam sessions in the garage.
And Jamie's playing hammer dulcimer.
At that point, Jamie was playing hammer dulcimer and trying to play drums. He was playing drums in a little group we had. And Travis and Jamie did all kinds of side projects and jamming together. And I got called one night for a gig with them that turned into Zilla, basically. And we did like 300 shows after that. But it kind of fell together and then stuck together. And it was a really good learning experience because when I started with Zilla, my concept was to be a guitar soloist along the lines of Trey Anastasio or Jerry Garcia or Frank Zappa or somebody. And when Zilla peaked and sort of finished for me, I hadn't picked up a guitar in 4 years. So it really made a big transition for me from guitar-based music and solo guitar solo music, really as the foremost concept of it, totally the other side of things of being a producer and making music with a bird's eye view of the whole sound and not weaving my own ego into like, oh, there's my guitar solo. Like, that's some kind of fancy thing. It's like more like, here's the music.
And at the center of Zilla's concept is this notion of improv. Mm-hmm. It's all improv. And so you're picking up a bass, you're using some samples. How did this fit into your musical style, essentially? How did this sort of play into that?
Well, it's interesting. It's actually, I think when Zilla started, I was so comfortable as an improviser and a little bit uncomfortable as doing something more intentional and planned out. But I could get on a stage and strap on an instrument and just close my eyes and freak out any night of the week. If I, you know, I just have a good ear, and I can hear what key we're in, and I really get off on the rhythmic interplay between bass and drums. And so just jamming is really fun for me. It's an invigorating thing. I come up with all kinds of ideas on the spot, and it's a good challenge to try to create something really cohesive, like on the spot. But I think I've grown to really appreciate what it's like to just stop time and spend 100 hours on 1 3-minute track in the studio until it just pops. And at that point, it's such a thing. It's not it's not as spontaneous at all as the jamming is. But on the other side of the picture, it's like a sculpture that's done. I can stand back and say, that's what I did, you know, that's what I was intending to do. And I think with a band like Zilla, it's like, let's just throw the ball up in the air and see if we can, see if we can hold everyone's attention and make this feel really good and make it positive. But when it's over, I have no idea what just happened. I can barely remember like what made that set happen, really. And with my concept with Vibe Squad is so much more intentional. So it's just like, I make every little molecule of this music and then put it all together into a big card castle or something, you know, and it just balances the way it is, and that is the way I want it to be. So it's just a different thing. I don't think it's as interesting necessarily for the folks in the audience that are very much instrumental music fans to see a guy with a computer turning knobs. I think it separates the connection a little bit than seeing a guy shredding on the guitar. But I feel like it is my job to make the people in the audience feel good and make those sound vibrations as big and positive as possible. And so it's a different approach to making sounds, you know, totally different.
Dome Piece from Vibe Squad's EP, Return of the Pudding People. This is the Unz Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. Aaron Holstein, the brains behind Vibe Squad, obviously loves his laptop, but sometimes he likes a more organic feel on his electronic tracks.
You know what? I've just always really kind of been into doing it myself, and like, I don't use loops really at all. I like one-shot sample libraries, you know, for the producer cats that might be listening. I mean, I definitely have a lot of sample libraries that I've looted through very carefully. I know what I like right away, and I drag those to another folder and save a best of sound, you know, like a huge library of like sounds I like. But I also, from doing that, realized that it's way more fun to get these sounds myself, and then they're so unique. And so like the Home Depot recording session was just like a day I spent going all over town recording, and then I realized like every kind of sound I want is in this one place. It's, you know, and I went in there and I probably spent 3 hours there. I could imagine what it looked like I was doing, because it took every broom and like scraped it on the ground and like hit the garbage cans with like a with like a plunger. Literally, I think I got like 2,500 one-shot samples that are like awesome. There'll be like a scrape and a crash, and I'll use that stuff as percussion on every track. And I love using sounds, cars driving by, just anything, going into a parking garage and clanking things together and getting that reverb going, and taking that, going home and mixing that with really pure synthetic tones. It gives you the texture of the world, you know, of us. Those sounds, we all, you know, can relate to those sounds. And when you put them in a musical context, for me, that's really exciting.
Who do you think is out there making the most cutting-edge electronic music? Who's really pushing the boundaries, doing something that hasn't really been done before?
You know, it's really cool. I'm finding that there's like young kids at their parents' house making beats, putting them up on MySpace, and pushing people's envelopes all over the world on a daily basis. I mean, it's become a totally different game. So there's creativity coming from places where before would have been squashed by unmarketability or something. Now you've got kids, you know, at their parents' house staying up late at night working on making beats, and they're influencing the people that they were influenced by in the first place. It's a very cyclical thing. So I'm hearing so much fresh music nowadays, and it's really exciting. And I don't know if anybody by themselves is pioneering blazing some new trail that's so different. And I think that's what's beautiful about it, is it's such a fast process, and there's so much information changing hands so fast nowadays with the internet, that instead of it being this long process like in jazz, where you'd go and you'll listen to Charlie Parker like 14 times and then go home and practice the scale that you heard him play, and then you play that the next gig you had, and then somebody heard you do that. Now it's like, we're all emailing each other, yo, check out this kid's track, and I listen to something, I'm like, that's ridiculous, and then I go downstairs and instantly the next thing I make is inspired by that. And so it's a very fast exchange. And so I don't know if I can name specifics, though I would gladly name off my friends and the people that I've been very big influenced by. I'm hearing something fresh every single day, you know. But like the guys that I am buddies with, the cool thing about the current scene for me is that some of my friends are my biggest influences, and that's a wholly new thing. You know, it used to be you look up to a rock band on MTV or something, and you'd never have an inkling in your mind that you'd have a connection with them on any level. And nowadays I think that everybody's approachable and it's much more connected. And so, you know, with that long preamble, I Dave Tipper has been one of my biggest influences in this sound, and will always be, and he's a total sweetheart. Bill Bless, Soteg, is the man. And those two guys I put on a pedestal. Other characters like Cybag, kind of classic guys doing the psychedelic breakbeats. That I put that on such a high place. And that's inspired so many other things. And so now I listen to a ton of new music. I really like what's going on with dubstep. I really like what some of my buddies are doing. Mimosa, Dave Saeed, Ua, Glitch Mob, Bass Nectar, you know, characters like that. Eprom. There's so many people that I just love their whole vibe, and I'm just a fan. And I just take that energy and just consider it all good stuff, and try to, you know, keep up with adding to that repertoire of sounds.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. I'd like to thank Aaron Holstein for being on the program. Vibe Squad has 3 albums available now on iTunes: Bass Love, Dawn Patrol, and Joyful Noise, his latest. A lot of the tracks we heard this week were from his EP, Return of the Pudding People. For more info on Vibe Squad and to check out some of his upcoming concert dates, you can go to theunts.com. On next week's show, we'll hear from Savoy, a live electronica and dubstep trio from Boulder, Colorado. If you have any questions or comments about the Unts, or you'd like to be a guest on the program, you can contact me at anand@theunts.com. That's A-N-A-N-D at theunts.com. Remember to visit theunts.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. If you want to be a regional rep for the Unts in your area, please contact Avi@theunts.com. That's A-V-I @theunts.com. Catch you next week.